Morning here. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah is Nun Vav. We just finished the Mishnah yesterday, which ends on Nun Hey Amud Beis. We're going to start with the Mishnah again. We're going to get reacquainted with this Mishnah and the issues in the Mishnah. As I mentioned, this Mishnah represents now the end of the Masechta, or the last section of the Masechta, or the Masechta is going to finish off on Yayin Nesach, and so this Mishnah is going to be an introduction to Yayin Nesach. I mentioned yesterday how odd it is that the last section of the Mishnah of the Masechta begins in the middle of the fourth parak, and doesn't mark this as like a new parak. But okay, it's not totally unusual where in Mishnayos a new section starts in the middle, but that's what's happening over here. The Mishnah over here starts off as follows: Lochim and Gas Beuta Mina Ove Kochavim Afa Pishu Noto Biado VeNos La Tapuch. So the Mishnah, the opening line of the Mishnah over here is basically, when does wine become wine? That's the, if I can just succinctly place what the issue is in terms of the Mishnah. Meaning, obviously we know that wine is the extraction of the grape. In other words, we take the grape, we squeeze the grape, and so really what you have is, more than anything else, you have grape juice, literally. You have the juice being extracted from the grape, but then what happens is that in the beginning, as the grape juice sits there, it's going to ferment, and it's going to turn into wine. So, but halachically speaking, when do we say that it is wine? It has the status of wine. Now, that has a lot of applications, but right now, as for our purposes in Avodah Zarah, we need to know it in terms of when it becomes Yayin Nesach, meaning we know that any wine that's handled by a guy is by definition now going to be Yayin Nesach. Again, Yayin Nesach, Stam Yenam, for the purposes of this discussion, are interchangeable terms, because it just simply means that there's a Gzeirah D'Rabban, and that any wine that's handled by a guy is going to have the status of Yayin Nesach. It will be given that status. We know that by Yayin Nesach, it's also by Achil Uvahana. You're not allowed to eat it, and you're not allowed to get benefit as well. So when does it now gain the status of wine? So we in Avodah Zarah are interested vis-a-vis the halachas of Stam Yenam Yayin Nesach. Now it goes without saying that once it has the status of wine, you can't eat it, that you can't drink it, that's clear. But also on top of that, you also can't get benefit as well. So that means to say that not only can you and not consume the wine once it has the status of wine, but the Isra Hana means I can't even work with it and get paid for it, because that's going to be getting a benefit. That's going to get Hana from the yin. So when does it become wine? So what's clear from this mission over here is that we're not waiting until the fermentation process is done. That's clear, meaning it's going to come at a much earlier stage. What's the stage in which it has the status of wine? So the mission over here gives actually a pretty clear cut definition in terms of when it becomes wine. The Mishnah says when it goes into the pit. Ad, right? That's the language of the Mishnah. Ad sheir labor, until it goes into the pit. So, okay, as I mentioned before we went live. So I try to research a little bit better how the apparatus looks like. But okay, very simply put. So there was a gas. There was this upper level where it was basically some sort of container. It was made, Rashi says, on a slant. And what happened was is that there the grapes are put in, there the grapes are mashed. They could be mashed by foot. There's the Rashi describes how there's this beam that's placed on top to even apply more pressure and squeeze them more. But in other words, there is grape juice that is formed in the gas. But then what happens is that from the gas, it's on an incline, and that what it's going to do is that it's going to flow through a opening into the bore, into the pit. Pit was just a simple hole in the ground. Sometimes it was plastered on the slime. Sometimes it was not. Rashi over here, again, giving a pretty detailed description of what that pit in the ground looks like. Borha Yosan, I'm just reading the Rashi. Borha Yosan Lufnei Agas Vaklin Nasun Sham LeKabal Hayayin. V'yesh Shetachan Abor Besid. Now some people put some sort of limestone around the pit. V'yam Mishabem Besocha Ve'inu Neva Tipa. And with the plaster around the interior of the pit, so there's no wine that to be lost. Vehu bor sid, and by the way, says Rashi, that's the bor sid. The Mishnah Perkei Avos, when you had one of the Tanaim giving compliments to his Tamidim, so one of them he referred to as a bor sid, meaning he's able to hold everything; he doesn't lose anything, right? In other words, everything I teach him, he retains. So the Mishnah over here says, look, you put it on the upper level, you put it on the gas, and boy, you're crushing it, and you're extracting the juice from the grape. There, it doesn't have the status of yain. It's certainly juice, it's certainly an extraction, that goes without saying. But we're talking about, when does it get the halachic status of yain? So the Mishnah says, very clearly, not there in the gas, but once it goes down into the pit. And what it sounds like from the Mishnah is that even as it's heading down, it's still not wine. Meaning the Mishnah, again, is giving a very clear parameter. The Mishnah says, ad sheyered labor. It's not going to be one until it goes into the pit. But what is also clear from the Mishnah is that once it hits the pit, once that juice now hits the pit, so now that's going to have the status of wine, and therefore, because it was manufactured, it was produced by a guy, it's going to have now the status of yain nesach. So the Mishnah opens up with that you can buy juice from the gas, meaning from the gas itself, lokchin gas buuta mino v'kochavim. So you can buy it from them. Alpha pishu noto biyado v'nosel latapuch. He's going to be handling it. He's going to put it on the tapuch. Tapuch is that big pile of grapes where they're going to end up pressing it even for. And because it doesn't become yain nesach until it hits the actual pit itself. And again, when the Mishnah says it doesn't become yain nesach, really what the Mishnah is saying is it doesn't become yain. Meaning basically, I mean, I'm going to use English terms, but in other words, in the gas itself, it's grape juice, but it's not wine. Once it hits the pit, it's now halachically wine. And again, because it was just simply manufactured by Goy literally handled it, so therefore it's going to be yain nesach. Okay. Now, the next step of the Mishnah, Yar Labor Masha Babor Asav Ashar Mutar. Once it goes down to the pit, so anything now that's in the pit is going to be Asav Ashar Mutar, and everything else is going to be Mutar. Again, the Mishnah over here seems to be reiterating the same point, and that is that only when it goes into the pit is it going to be wine. Any process before that, any period before that, it's not going to be wine, and therefore it's going to be Mutar. Okay. So far we, again, just reviewed the first part of the Mishnah, and we're looking at when does the juice become wine? That's halachically. Okay.
So also means valor and mutter means b'shtiyah.
Afilu b'shtiyah. Yes. Yep. That's a simple pshat in the Mishnah. Okay. Now that we point that out, we're going to move on to other issues. And before we go to those other issues, again, let me reintroduce these two factors that are taken into consideration. Two additional factors, meaning. We already know that the main factor of this Mishnah is Yain Nesach, because, quite frankly, that's the topic of our Masechta. But there are two other issues which to take into consideration, and that's Gram Tuma, and that's Mesayei Edei Ovrei Avera. So let's talk first about Gram Tuma. The causation of Tuma. If a non-Jew, or for that matter, a Jew who is not careful about Tuma, were to handle the grapes, so while the grapes are on the tree, the grapes are not only cannot become tameh, but even if tumah were to touch, it's not going to become tameh. It's ena mukshal kabel tumah. We know that for any food to become tameh, it first has to come into contact with a liquid. Now it happens to be that with a grape, it happens to be that there's liquid right there in the grape. But the liquid in the grape by itself is not enough. In other words, for the liquid has to be extracted. Then that extracted liquid has to touch the grape. Now the grape is Mukhshar lekabel tuma. Now it's ready and susceptible to become tamei. And if somebody were to touch it, so now that grape would become tamei. Now, if the grape becomes tamei, so like I said yesterday, and I'll repeat again today, so what? Meaning, is it now going to be prohibited to eat? No. In other words, it can't become truma, and you can't give it to a kohen as truma, and it can't be brought in sachem in the base of mikdash. But in other words, for you and I, who are not shomer b'tahara, we're not careful about maintaining a state of tahara. So quite frankly, it's still edible. You're still allowed to eat it, even if it becomes tamei. However, as we're going to be seeing over the course of today's daf, tomorrow's daf, there is a debate whether or not you're allowed to be goring tuma b'chulin b'eretz Yisrael. When living in Israel, so is there this, I'll call it a prohibition, I mean, with the Gemara's language is this, sir. Is there this prohibition that food, even chulin, even non-truma, and non-carbon food is chulin supposed to be kept b'shmiras tahara, in a state of tahara? Are we supposed to safeguard it from becoming tahara? So let's assume, like Rashi says in our Mishnah, that our Mishnah subscribes to the opinion that it is asr, it is prohibited for even chulin to become tameh. So now,
Only in the time of the Bais Hamikdash? Could be.
I mean, the Mishnah was written after the Bais Hamikdash. Okay. It's very difficult. No, you're right. Without a paraduma, it's very difficult, admittedly. So anyway, so there's this consideration of gram tuma. And let's right now, for purposes of our discussion, let's call that an isser. And that now means as follows. So if you are now going to be causing or assisting others to cause something to become tame, so you're going to be in violation of this isser. Okay, now let's talk about assistance. Even if you're not the one causing the tumah, but you're helping and abetting others to cause that tumah, So now what you're called in halacha is misayeya yidei ovrei avera. You're aiding and helping others for violating their sisser. So those are two other considerations to take into account. Now in terms of who can make the grape tamei, the answer is a Jew who's not careful about tuma, and a goy. Meaning by definition, the goy has a gzera derabban and tuma on him, so when the goy touches the grape, it's going to become tamei. The misayeya de ovrei avera is only a concern when it comes to another Jew, but it's not a concern when it comes to a goy. Rashi explains, Rashi actually repeats this a number of times in the course of the yesterday's daf and today's daf. The reason why it only applies to a Jew is because on this particular Isser of Gram Tumah is only an Isser for a Jew, not an Isser for a goy. And so therefore the consideration, the concern of Misayeya de Ovrei Avera, aiding and abetting, is only going to be applying when you're working with a Jew, not with a goy. So, let's just summarize. And you just, in other words, these are really the building blocks for our entire discussion today. There are really three issues that need to be considered concurrently. One is the issue of Yai Nesach. Two is the issue of Gram Tuma. And three is the issue of Misayeya Yodei Ovrei Avera. These are the three issues that need to be taken into consideration. And so therefore, whenever you're reading a line of the Mishnah, a line of the Gemara, so you gotta basically go over the checklist and see, does this apply, does this apply, and this apply? So as we go through the Mishnah, obviously, we'll speak out exactly which would apply in any case. So when you're purchasing from the Ovik Kochavim, that's the first halacha we learned together in the Mishnah, so you can buy from the Gavs. Now, is there a problem of Yain Esach? No, because our Mishnah is of the opinion that it doesn't become Yain until it falls into the pit. When it's in the upper portion, when it's in this Gavs, so then it's not yet Yain. So therefore, there is no there's no issue of Yain Esach. What about Gram Tuma? So as Rashi explains, Rashi will explain, no problem with Gram Tuma because consider, it's in the Gavs, that means that it was already stepped on. Who stepped on it? So the Goy already stepped on it. Once the Goy stepped on it, now it becomes Tummy. The issue is going Tumah, to make it Tummy, but once it's Tummy already, so now it's now Avar V'nitma, it's now already Tummy, so there's no issue of Gram Tumah. And Misaye de Ovre Avera, meaning it's a Goy. There's no concern about being Misaye de Ovre Avera. Okay, let's move on to the next halacha of the Mishnah. Dorchinim Ovi Kochavim V'gas. So now, if you want to work together with the Ovi Kochavim, and he's asking you now to help press on the gas, so that you're allowed to do. Meaning, again, is it Yain Esech? Not yet, because not until it falls into the pit. Did you cause it to become Tamei? No, because it's in the gas already. The guy already pushed his foot down on it one time, now already makes it Tamei. There's liquid oozing out of it already. It's Mukhshir L'Kabel Tumah. So therefore, it is already Tamei. And again, it's a guy, so therefore there's no issue of Misayed over Avera. Aval, as we turn to the top of Nanhamid base, lo botsunimo, but you can't harvest together with him. Now, it sounds strange, right? You can't harvest together with him, meaning harvesting obviously is an earlier stage. That's cutting the grapes off the vine. Why can't you harvest with him? So the Rashi says over here, yeah, what's the issue? Gram tuma. Because when you're harvesting, so now you're going to be taking it from a state where it's not mukhshir l'kabel tuma, and by you harvesting it, so now some liquid is going to be extracted, and now it's mukhshir l'kabel tumah, and so therefore you will be in violation of this isser of gram tumah. And it's not like you're helping him perform gram tumah, meaning by you harvesting, you're actually causing the tumah itself, so therefore this is an issue of gram tumah. Continuing in the Mishnah, Yisrael shu oseh b'tumah, lordochim v'lobotsim imo. Now, if it's a Jew who is not careful about tumah, so that means to say that this Jew is just simply constantly in a state of tuma. So here, you can't do pretty much anything together with him. You cannot hire yourself out to do any kind of work with him. You can't press on the gas. You can't harvest with him. What you can do is you can schlep barrels. You can schlep barrels, empty barrels to the gas. You can schlep full barrels from the gas. That you're allowed to do, but you are not allowed to assist neither in the harvesting nor in the pressing in the gas. Again, why not? So over here, there are now two considerations. One, by harvesting, you're going to be Garm Tumah. And by pressing in the gas, so what you're going to be doing is you're going to be aiding and abetting him as he's causing more Tumah to the others. That's Misayeh De'Avera Avera. Remember, in this case of the Mishnah, we're talking about a Jew. Once we're talking about a Jew, even though he's not careful about this particular Isser, okay, that's unfortunate, but you can't aid and you can't abet, you can't help him in terms of gram tama, in terms of causing that tama. So that's why, when it comes to a Jew, actually the restriction gets even higher. You can't harvest with him, nor can you press in the gas. And then the Mishnah finishes off with a nachtam. Nachtam. If I have a baker who is not careful about tumah, and therefore he's in a constant state of tumah, so therefore you cannot knead the dough together with him, you cannot arrange it into some sort of bread, but you can take it to the palter. Now Rashi over here writes at the end of this Mishnah, what the palter is going to do is he's going to bake the bread. So in other words, what it sounds like from Rashi is that even though it's an unbaked state, you can take it with him from where he put it together, from where he arranged it, to where it's going to be baked. That's the way Rashi says it. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. But anyway, right now we'll stay with that. And bread is not going to be our topic for today, so we're going to focus on the wine, as wine will be our topic for today. Okay, from our Mishnah, again, there are a lot of considerations, but in terms of when does it become wine? When does it have the status of wine? So again, the Mishnah could not be any clearer. The Mishnah says, ad sheyered labor, until it falls into the pit. So at any point prior to that, it's just simply juice, it's just simply extraction. But in other words, it only has the status of wine when it goes into the pit. Amar Ravuna, starting with the Gemara, yayin keva sheyitzcha lehimashech osi yayin nesach. So Ravuna says, once it starts flowing, it is yayin nesach. So that means to say, in the gas. So what you're going to be doing now is you're going to be stepping and applying pressure to the grape. So juice is going to come out of it. Once that juice comes out of it and starts flowing into the bore, so at that point in time, now it's going to have the status of yayin, and now, if it's manufactured by goy, it's yayin esach. So that means to say that Rav Huna is looking at a earlier stage, meaning not when it falls into the pit, but rather, even as the juice starts flowing from that point on, it is now going to be considered yayin esach. Now this...
juice.
Huh?
It still stays as juice. It doesn't.
Yeah, but it's not going to do it. Once it's in the gas, that's it.
So once it's in this gas, and once it starts flowing, so that well before it goes into the pit, it's now going to be yayin nesach. That's Rav Huna's opinion. Now, of course, the problem is that Rav Huna's an Amora, and that's not what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says, ad sheyered labor. So Rav Huna, who's an Amora, certainly entitled to an opinion, but not an opinion that's against the Mishnah. So Tanan, and the Gemara now asks, so let's start off line by line with the Mishnah. And you'll see as we go through every line of the Mishnah, it seems to be going against Rav Huna. First of all, the Mishnah says that I could buy the juice and the gas. I can go over to a guy, buy the juice and the gas, and it's not yayin esach because it's not yayin, says the Mishnah. Now in the gas, presumably it's been squeezed already, and juice has been extracted, and we're going to assume that was flowing. And then what this Mishnah then represents is a question against Rav Huna. So I'm Rav Huna begas pekuko maleya. So Rav Huna says, no, the gas over here was stuffed up, meaning it wasn't, no flow was allowed. So the grape and the grape juice in the gas now is in a stationary state, meaning the way Rashi describes it sounds like even if there is juice that's coming out, but because it's stopped up, so therefore there's no flow. And the only time Rav Huna says that's yain is only when it starts flowing. So that's an akimta in the Mishnah. The Tashma, the Gemara says, Veno se yayin esach haicheir labor. So the Gemara says, and it's not yayin esach until it falls into the pit. But in other words, again, a simple reading of the Mishnah is that anything prior to that, it's not going to be yayin. And according to Rav Huna, once it's flowing in the direction of the pit, already it's now considered yayin. So achinami begas pekuka malaya. So again, Rav Huna says, okay, but I'll give an ukimta. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the gas is stuffed up, and so therefore there is no flow in the gas. And that's why the Mishnah says that only when it goes into the pit is it going to be asur. But in other words, but prior to that point in time, it's not going to be asur, only because there's no flow. Tashma, yar labor, mashav abor asur, ashar mutar. And again, now we quote another line of the Mishnah, and this line of the Mishnah really is, there's no kimta you could give. It's really clear. The Mishnah says that once it falls into the pit, everything in the pit is going to be asur, and the remainder is going to be mutar. So again, the Mishnah, even though, right, the Gemara knows the end of the Mishnah. It's not like this came as a surprise. But that's just simply the Derech HaGemara, where the Gemara attacks each line against Rav Huna from a Mishnah, where Rav Huna could defend his position, you know, for the first line, for the second line. But once you get to this line, you realize that there's simply no way out of it. The Mishnah couldn't be any clearer. So I'm Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says now in his defense, Lo Kasha. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. But the Mishnah comes in stages, And there's what's called the Mishnah Rishonah, Mishnah Achronah. Mishnah Rishonah, Mishnah Achronah is just another way to describe how there was an earlier opinion and there was a later opinion. Meaning this represents two opinions. And one Tana is reflecting the position of an earlier opinion, and the other Tana is reflecting the position of a later opinion. And Rav Huna says, I'm just simply following a Mishnah Achronah, Ditanya. Gemara here quotes a Braisa, it's the Tosefta. Rishonah Yomim Badad. So originally what they said was Badad. Badad is a simon. So it represents three letters, Beis, Dalad, Dalad. And we're going to go through each one of the halachas in just a second. And this is what's called Mishnah Rishonah, meaning this was the earlier Mishnah. And then there is Mishnah Achronah, which we're going to see in just a moment. And what we're going to follow is that Rav Huna is subscribing to the later Mishnah, meaning the second opinion, the later opinion, not the first opinion. Okay, let's see the Mishnah Rishonah, let's see the Mishnah Achronah. So right now we're going through Badad. So what's Badad? So the Beis, Botrim Imal V'Kocham Begas, She'aso Ligra, I'm sorry, Ein. Right, I'm right. I was just focusing on the Beis, but you're right. And that's an important word in this context. So Ein Botrim Imal V'Kocham Begas, She'aso Ligram Tamluch Lun Sheba Eretz Yisrael. So you can't harvest, right? You can't harvest together with a guy. And again, now you just have to go through all three of the checklists. In other words, yeah, in our minds, you always have to say, Yain Nesach Gram Tuma, and Misayeya De Ovre Avera. So it's a guy, so there's no Misayeya, in this context. So now what's left is Yain Nesach and Gram Tuma, where we're harvesting, so it's certainly Yain Nesach is not the issue. So basically now we're down to Gram Tuma. The Mishnah says, but by harvesting, there is an issue of Gram Tuma. Again, when you're taking the grape, cutting it off the vine, bringing it to the gas, so juice will be extracted and you're going to be causing. Now, because you're working in conjunction with the goy, you're going to be causing it to become tame, and therefore that's an issue of gram tuma. That's beis dalit, the first dalit. Ein dorchenim Yisrael shalose perasav b'tuma shalosel yisayyede yidei over avera. And if you want to hire yourself out by a Jew who's not careful about tuma tahara, if you want to hire yourself out to step with him in the gas, you can't do that. And the reason why you can't do that is because you're now going to be aiding and abetting him in terms of proliferating tuma, and you're not allowed to do that. That's mistayeya de over avera. Aval, and here comes the second dalid. Dorchinim of kochem begas v'lo cheshin l'dravuna, and but you are allowed to work together with a guy in stepping on the grapes in the gas and extracting the juice because again it's not yet wine and it's not yain asach, and again there's no mistayeya de over avera. What about gram tuma? It's already tummy, so there's no issue of gram tuma. V'chazur lomar, so that is Mishnah Rishonah, and obviously that is our Mishnah, meaning everything we just learned right now is really just a repetition of the Mishnah, but now what we're learning is that represents the opinion of Mishnah Rishonah. And now we familiarize ourselves with Mishnah Achronah, and that is V'chazur lomar dabad, meaning again it's a simon, and it's dal beis dal, and here we go. Ein dorchin imo v'kocham v'gas misham d'ravuna, one is not allowed to step on the grapes in the gas because of Rav Huna. Meaning again, it's a guy. So when it's a guy, so, knock out Messiah de over Avera, it's a guy. Gram Tumah, it's already Tame as it goes into the gas, so knock that out as well. So the only issue now is the Ayin Nesach. And it says in this Mishnah Achronah that you can't step on the grapes together with a guy for concern of Ayin Nesach. Now we get to the base. We turn to Nun Vav and Aleph. In both in Yisrael, Sha'ot Seperos of Tumah, Now you can't harvest with a Jew who's not careful about tuma, because you are going to hear the by the case of harvesting, you're going to be causing the tuma. And you can't step on the grapes together with him because you're going to be aiding and assisting him in causing additional tuma, and you're not allowed to do that. Ava, begas. But what you are allowed to do is you are allowed to harvest with a non-Jew in the gas, because you are allowed to cause tuma tuchul in Eretz Yisrael, meaning that in Mishnah Achronah there is also an additional change from Mishnah Rishonah. Meaning in Mishnah Rishonah it's subscribed to the idea of that you're not allowed to cause tuma tuchul in Eretz Yisrael, and the Mishnah Achronah is of the opinion that you are allowed to be garim tuma for chulin and eretz yisrael. We'll come back to that. And we'll discuss that a little bit later in a little more detail. Okay, so we have so far basically. If now I could just distill the information we have so far. So basically now, to the question of, the grape is going to be extracted, the juice is going to be extracted from the grape. It's going to be do so, it's going to be done in an upper vat, what's called the, what the Mishnah describes as a gas. And then from there, the juice is going to slide down and go into the pit in the ground. When does it have the halachic status of wine? Answer, it's a machlokas between the Mishnah and Rav Huna. Although now we know that Rav Huna is supported by also an opinion of a Tana. But in other words, when does it become wine? Our Mishnah says only when it goes into the pit. Only when it descends into the pit, then and only then does it have the status of wine. Rav Huna goes a little bit earlier than that. Rav Huna says that once it's in the gas and once the wine starts flowing from the grape down into the pit, so from the point of Meshicha, Vamshacha, from that point going forward now, it's going to have the status of wine. That's really, honestly, in other words, to distill the information, that's basically what we've seen. There are, again, a lot of other issues and concerns, but just to distill that one bit of information. Now, the Gemara over here is bothered based on a Mishnah. Mishnah is in Masros. It's in the beginning of Masechta Masros. Mishnah we don't see, because I'm saying within the Daf Yomi. It's in Seder Zrayim. Only one Masechta we cover in all Seder Zrayim, Brachos. Rest of them are, there's no Gemara on them. It's not part of the Daf Yomi cycle. So the Mishnah over there talks about when does wine become wine. Now the Mishnah Maestros obviously is interested in something else, and that is in the Mitzvah of Trumas and Maestros. Once you harvest any produce from the field, so the and you now collect it, aggregate it, and bring it to the final processing of it, now it's going to be Chayv and Trumas and Maestros. In other words, what in the world of Trumas and Maestros is what's called Gemar Malacha. Meaning when it is achieved Gemar Malacha, then and only then is it going to be Chayv and Trumas and Maestros. The Mishnah over here in Maestros now is describing wine. When does wine obtain the status of the Gemar Malacha, where now I'm going to be Chayv to take off Trumas and Maestros? Now, seemingly, it's basically going to be the same question that we're dealing with over here, just coming from a different angle. Meaning over here we're talking about when it's wine vis-a-vis the Halacha of Yain Esach. Over there in Maestros, we're talking about when it's wine in terms of when it's going to be Chayv in Trumas and Maestros. But effectively, essentially, the question is the same question. When does it lose the status of just an extraction from a grape? And when does it obtain the status of wine? So the Mishnah Maestros says, when? Yayin Mishiyikpe. From the point of Kafui. What does that mean? Rashi explains. What happens is that the wine after goes into the pit, so it's going to sit, it's going to settle, and it's going to start bubbling. What's going to happen is that some sediment is going to be coming up to the top of that, to the top of the fermenting wine. And what then the winemaker does is he comes along and he skims the top of it to take off all that residue. And that's the process of kafui. Right? Rashi writes, Havi Gemar Malacha Lin Yemaisa Leisa Bo Si Asarai, meaning once we get to the Gemar Malacha, so now it is formally and officially tevel, we can't even have a small taste of it. Mishiyik balashon tsaf kamo kapa to alma de masecha tsuka shit safin or chatsanin al hayayin kishuhu noach bebor. Once it starts settling in the pit, so then sediment pits are going to come up to the top, you skim the top, and that's what's called kafui. So the Mishnah and Maiso says that the Gemar Malacha is at the point of kafui. That's a later stage, meaning it is now beyond the point of just going into the pit. It's going into the pit, settling in the pit. The residue comes to the top, floats to the top. Then and only then is it going to be Gemar Malacha vis-a-vis the halachas of Trumas and Maestros. So what we seemingly have now is the steerer between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Maestros.
It's two different things.
Okay, well, there isn't, right, in other words, we're talking about two different halachas. The Gemara later will entertain the idea that maybe they doesn't have to work with the same guideline, but as we're going to see in just a moment, Rava does not see that distinction. Rava believes that the definition of wine here is going to operate with the same definitions as it will with Trumos, and so therefore Rava is going to give a different answer. And the Gemara later is going to observe that Rava does not give the simple distinction of, hey, we're talking about Azara, that's talking about Trumos. Rava doesn't operate with that answer. Amar Rava Lokasha ha Rabbi Kiva ha Rabbanan. So Rava says, not a problem. Meaning, they are reflecting different opinions of different Tanayim. Meaning, enachinami, it's a question of the question. But, they're just simply representing different opinions. None. The Mishnah, the Gemara here quotes a Mishnah. Now, it's funny, previously it said Tanya really was a Mishnah. Here it's Tanan, really it's a Braisa, but okay. Yain Mishiyar Labor, when the wine goes into the pit, Rabbi Kiva Omer Mishikpe. Ah, so in other words, in terms of when is the wine going to be chayav trumas ma'isos, machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Kiva. Tanakama says when it falls into the pit. Very good. So the Tanakama of that Braisa in trumas ma'isos is going to complement and echo the opinion that we see here in Masechet Avodah Zarah. And you see the Rabbi Kiva argues, so presumably Rabbi Kiva would argue over here as well. Meaning that Rabbi Kiva would say that vis-a-vis, when is the yain, vis-a-vis yain nesach? Only when it gets to the point where you have the residue rising to the top while it's in the pit. At a later stage than Mishiri Labor. Yeah, correct. Meaning right. In other words, from Rava's standpoint, whatever the halacha is over here, the halacha is going to be the same by Shumas and Maitzos.
Why did we see it? We saw Ravuna wasn't Chalika. Why did we see that again? We saw that Ravuna gave a death and did.
Well, Ravuna, right. What we're gonna end up doing in just a moment is the Gemara is gonna summarize like how many opinions are there? Because right now, right now, if we're holding cups, so we're gonna right now you should already see three opinions.
Right.
Okay, good. The Gemara later on is gonna summarize that. Ibailu, keep with the bor, keep with the chavis. Now, the Gemara over here says that there actually are two points in the production of wine where we're going to be going through this process of skimming the top. One is like I described in the pit, but then actually there's another kipui, which is at a later point in time. In other words, eventually what happens is that after the wine sits in the pit for some time and now fermented, it's going to be transferred from the pit into a barrel. And in the barrel, also there's going to be this process of You're going to have sediment and residue rising to the top, and we're going to be skimming the top. So even though Rabbi Kiva very clearly says Mishiikbe, is he talking about the skimming that's done in the pit, or is he talking about the skimming that's done in the barrel? Tashma detayin, the Gemara quotes a brisa, Yain Mishiikbe, afa pishakafa, kolet min hagas al yona uminat sinur vishose. So even though you went through the skimming process, what you are allowed to do is you can collect some of the liquid from the gas, sal yona, from the upper gas, and from the tsinor that's connecting the two, and you're allowed to drink from that. So in other words, because even though you have skimmed, you've skimmed from the pit, but in other words, that's not going to affect any of the juice that's up in the upper vat, and it's not going to be affecting any of the pipe connecting the upper vat down into the lower pit, shmamina, kipu dabur kamrinan, shmamina. So clearly, we're talking about skimming from the pit, we're not talking about skimming from the barrel. Okay. V'atini Rav Zid b'debei Rabbi Yoshia yayin mishir labor v'yikpe Rabbi Akiva omer mishi yishle b'chavios. So the Gemara says, okay, but we have another braisa. A braisa recorded in the name of Rav Yoshia that when is it going to be chayev in shumos and maestros? Mishir labor v'yikpe, according to the Tanakhama, when it goes into the pit and you skimmed off the top. Which up until now we assumed was the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Now we assume that because that's actually what Rabbi Kiva said. But over here, the Gemara quotes us as a Misorah from Rav Oshia. This is reflecting the opinion of the Tanakhama. And on this, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Mishiyishla Bechavios. No! Actually, when is it going to have the status of wine? When you transfer that wine from the pit into the barrel. Then and only then is it going to be halachically the status of wine. And then and only then is it going to be Chayav Trumas HaMaisros. Then and only then is it going to be Tevel. So, Tei Ratza Namilach Kamaisa Hachi. Yain Mishir Labor V'yikbe Rav Yekiva Omer Shiyishle B'chavios. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? We accept Rav Oshia's Masara, and then earlier, actually, we're now going to have it that we're going to modify Rabbi Kiva as we learned earlier. The Rabbi Kiva says, from the point that you skim the top, and you transferred it into the barrels. Ve'la Masisin Diktani Enosi Yain Esachai Shir Labor. So the Gemara says, so now, how many opinions do we have? So right now the Gemara calls the three opinions. Really, if you think about it, there are four opinions. But let's right now count up the three opinions that we have right now. When is wine halachically wine? When does it have the halachic status of wine? And right now, again, we're not seeing any difference between Trumas and Maestros, Yain Nesach, meaning the question over here is one essential question with various applications. When does wine become have the halachic status of wine? And it would be chayv in Shumas and Maestros, and it would be subject to Yain Nesach if produced by a non-Jew. So, one opinion is, I'm going to work backwards, meaning I'm going to go from the later stages to the earlier stages. One opinion is that when it's transferred from the barrel into the pit. A second opinion is that when it gets into the pit, and I skimmed off the top. A third opinion is when it drops into the pit. Now, the truth of the matter is, like I whispered under my breath, there really is a fourth opinion. That's the opinion of Rav Huna, and that's Hamshacha. Meaning once it starts flowing from the gas into the pit. So, and Tosus raises this as a concern, meaning why isn't the Gemara now counting four opinions? Why are we only counting three opinions right now? But anyway, right now in the Gemara we have three opinions. So, Lema Talasi Tanayi, so Lo Shani Yai Nesech Dachmir Rebbe Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, now finally the Gemara says, well, maybe we could say like this. No. As it relates to Trumas Maestros, so there really are two opinions. And then, meaning, when is it going to be Chayav Trumas Maestros? Either A, when you skim the top, when you skim from the top off the pit, or B, when you're transferring from the pit into the barrel. Really there are two opinions. I, by Yayin Nesach, actually there's a third opinion which is more Machmir. So now the Gemara finally at least suggests that there may be a difference between the halachas of Trumas and Maestros and the halachas of Yayin Nesach. So since we're talking about Yayin Nesach, which is in the world of Avodah Zarah, and this has been a recurring theme throughout the entire Masechta, so therefore we're going to be more Machmir as it relates to Yayin Nesach. Although, to be fair, to be honest, more technically, we're really talking about Stam Yena. Meaning we're just talking about making wine. The non-Jew is making wine. Again, any non-Jew that handles the wine is now turning it into Stam Yenam. But Stam Yenam is really a Din D'Rabbanan. Yayin Nesach only because of concern of Yayin Nesach. So, okay. But I say that just to be a little bit detail-oriented. But the truth of the matter is that the Gemara just simply views it all as part and parcel of Yayin Nesach. And because it has to do with the topic of Avodah Zarah, so therefore, in terms of Trumas and Maestros, you have two opinions which to choose from. Either like the Chachamim, or like Rabbi Akiva. Either from the point that's in the pit and you skimmed off the top, or from the time that you transferred from the pit into a barrel. Those are your two opinions regarding Trumas and Maestros. And by Stam Yena, by Yayin Nesach, so either you're going to subscribe to those two, or you'll go with an earlier stage. Drops into the pit, Hamshacha. And by the way, maybe, again, Tosus really discusses this, but maybe also that's why the Gemara Ohr didn't even suggest a fourth opinion, because now in this answer of the Gemara, really there are two opinions, two essential opinions, and then by Yayin Nesach, we're going to be more Machmir. So, in other words, and then how much more Machmir we're going to be? Okay, that branches off into other opinions. But really, when it's all said and done, there are two opinions by Trumas and Maestros, and then a third, or I should say, another path to go down when talking about Yayin Nesach. Now the Gemara now notes
the opinion of three Tanoim and not the
Rav Huna. Although the Gemara, I hear that as well. Although quite frankly, Rav Huna is supported by a Braisa, but I hear that. Ula Rav Dol Shani Le Mokim Le Ketlasa Tanai. Now Rava never entertained a difference between Trumas HaMaisos and Avodah Zarah, as we turn now to the top of Nunvav Amud Beis. Rava never entertained a difference, and because Rava never entertained a difference, it's clear from Rava that he has no other way to say than there are three opinions. Meaning, Enochinami, by whatever opinion you're going to find by Yayin Nesach, meaning Acheri Labor, is going to be that opinion regarding Trumas and Maestros. So for Rava, the Gemara says, you're right, Enochinami, there are three opinions. Let's continue on the Mishnah on Vav Amud Beis. Masha Babur Asr Vashar Mutter. Amr Ravuna Lashanu Ella Shlo Hichzer Gargus Nelagas. Avahichzer Gargus Nelagas Asr. So if you put the Gargusni into the gas, it's going to be Asr. Okay, now again, a picture over here would be worth a lot. Okay, I'd pay for a picture. So, but anyway, with that, in absence of a picture, so I have Rashi over here. So Rashi describes the Gargusni as being a barrel. Right, a basket. So take a look at the second Rashi on the Amud. Who saw Gadol Shekasha B'Tzinur V'Hayayin Yored Minat Tzinur L'Socho O Misocho Labor K'Dei L'Sanin Hayayin Mizagin V'Chart Sanin. Okay, so it's a strainer. It's a form of a basket. It's a form of a strainer. What happens is that the wine goes through a pipe, goes into the strainer, and then from the strainer, and then goes into the pit. So the Gemara says that even though our Mishnah here was very clear, anything in the pit is going to be Yayin Nesach. anything in the gas is going to not be Yain Nesach. Now, we have this gargusni apparatus, so the gargusni and the wine that's in the gargusni is going to be Aster. So the Gemara now wonders, gargusni gufa b'maika mitzri b'nitzok. So the Gemara says, so then why should it be that that which is in the gargusni, the liquid in the gargusni is going to be Aster because of a flow? Meaning to say that there is wine flowing from the strainer down into the pit. And so what you have is you have a connective flow connecting the two. And throughout halacha, as we're going to be discussing today and tomorrow, is a question of how to view that flow. Is that flow now going to be a chibur, or is it going to be connecting that which is in the pit and that which is going to be above that in this filter? Shmamina nitzo chibur. I'm sorry, nitzo chibur. So the Gemara says, if you're telling me that which is in the filtering basket is going to be usher because it's flowing from the basket into the pit below. So now we can say that anytime you have a flow connecting two bodies of water, so that means to say that they are now connected, and therefore the wine in the basket is going to be usher. The Gemara says, but, right, many issues throughout Shas are just like open-ended questions with two tenable positions. Over here, same thing. Meaning whether or not a flow is considered a connector or it's not considered a connector. So the Gemara always entertains that there are two opinions. One opinion is that it is a chibur, and another opinion is that it's not a chibur. So the Gemara says, so if you're telling me that the wine in the gargusni is going to be aser, so you're telling me that it is a chibur. So the Gemara's answer is no. Kidni Rebbi Chia, shepachsaso tzuchiso, hachinam shepachsaso boro. So the Gemara says, you don't have to conclude that way. Do you know why the wine in the gargusni is going to be aser? Because of a backflow. In other words, what basically happened is that the wine in the pit backed up, so it's not a flow connecting the two, but literally the wine backed up all the way to the point where it went and it actually hit the filter, and so they're not connected through a flow, they're connected because they're connected, meaning the wine is actually backed up into the filter. Okay. There is a really exciting discussion in Tosfos. Not going to go through it now. Maybe tomorrow I'll highlight some points over here. Let's say you have a goy pouring wine from a bottle into a glass. So the wine in the glass is going to be stam yeinam, you can't drink it. And what about now the wine in the bottle? Meaning the flow connecting the two. So is the flow going to connect the two? Is that going to be considered a chibur? So not only is the wine in the glass going to be usher, but let's say the wine now back in the bottle is going to be usher as well. So Tosfos has an exciting, lively debate about that particular issue based on some of what we just learned. Let's just finish up. Let me just do the last section of this Amud. There was a young man, 6 years of age, who went through a Masechta Avodah Zarah. So, again, a short test. Can you press together with the Ovid Gachavim in the gas? So, Amalu Drachim Emavikacham the gas. Okay, so this young man at 6 years of age, so he learned the Masechta. When I say learned the Masechta, meaning, knew it, and so he quoted the Mishnah, meaning it's the Mishnah that we opened up with our shir today. And he says, yes, you're allowed to. Dorchim avikacham v'gas. V'akim menasech biyadeh. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So they further interrogated the young man, and they said, I don't understand. While he's pressing down on the grips with his feet, so is it not the case that he could just simply bend down, take his hand, and do a little bit of nisuch with his hand? As we're going to be going through these Gemaras, you're going to see that nisuch is not a complicated process. Nisuch just simply means that you take your hand and you shake it in the wine, and that's nisuch yain. Now the wine is nisuch yain. So the Gemara says, so can he not be menasich with his hand while he's pressing with his feet? So the young man's response is, d'tzayna lehu liyadeh. His hands were currently tied up. So is he going to be doing nisuch with his feet? Nisuch the rev aloshme nisuch. So the Gemara says, no. It's not considered nisuch when done with your feet. It's only going to be nisuch when done with your hand. So the young man over here not only knew the Mishnah, but he actually understood it. Meaning, and this young man gave ukimtas in terms of how to understand why we're not worried that in the process of stepping down the gas, it's not going to be subject to yain nisuch.